Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week I shared with you a bit of amazement that in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, so many things happen. Well, we're still in chapter 1 and stuff just keeps happening. Even this week's reading doesn't quite close out the action of the chapter. There's still one more who Jesus needs to heal. But things are getting wrapped up a bit, and we're almost off and running into the rest of the story with eager anticipation about what Jesus will do next. As it turns out, this week is actually a good place to end this section of the story in light of the fact that next week is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration is the last Sunday of the Epiphany season, and it gets us ready to begin Lent. Yes, Lent is only about a week and a half away now. I said a few weeks ago that a word that I'd found described the essence of the Epiphany season was glory. The glory that the angels sang to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, the glory of God expressed in the person of Jesus who is baptized by John, who calls ordinary fishermen, and who speaks of something called the kingdom of God. Glory, I said, doxa in the original language, isn't the glory of heroes and feats of strength. But glory in this way is Jesus' message that God seeks out the normal, everyday person. God lifts up the work of everyday laborers. God says that hope doesn't come from castles and thrones, but from the likes of a man with an unclean spirit, silenced by, what's his name? Jesus. From, where was it? Oh yeah, Nazareth. You ever think about what's really wonderful in life? I mean, there are moments of heroic glory. Some of us have been to the top of a mountain somewhere, able to see all the lowly places for miles around. Some of us have achieved greatness in the eyes of our peers, and we might have certificates on our walls or trophies in a cabinet, prizes honoring some past triumph. But we also know that glory and greatness come in the quiet moments, sometimes when no one else is paying attention, making cookies in the kitchen with mom, or measuring a board in the shop with dad. In today's gospel reading, Jesus does something pretty normal and mundane, especially in light of last week's demon exorcism. He goes to the home of Peter's mother-in-law. I always thought that this was kind of an odd little piece of Jesus' life and ministry to include. Of all the people that Jesus met with and everyone he spoke to and comforted and taught and healed, what's so special about Peter's mother-in-law? Now, don't get me wrong, mothers-in-law are great. I had one of the best. And it just so happens that Peter's mother-in-law is sick. So why wouldn't Jesus go to her? Isn't this exactly what the glory of the kingdom of God is all about? And Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then Jesus heals a bunch of other people. It's almost like Jesus has set up a shop selling bread. Not fancy bread, just ordinary bread. And all of the people all around town want to come and get a taste of this Jesus bread. And then when Jesus decides that he's stayed in that place long enough, he says to his disciples, come along, let's go and see what we can do in the next town. And then maybe we'll go on to the next town after that. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, let us go to the next town and heal people or cast out demons in that place. He says, let's go to the next town and proclaim the message there also. He says, that's what I've come out to do. Maybe we think that Jesus' greatest acts were his miracles. And people of his time seemed to be quite enamored with this power of his, these signs, as it were. But Jesus himself maintains that his most important work is to proclaim the message. And as often as we think that if Jesus were to appear in our world, he would probably show up to those of us who are righteous and faithful, Jesus himself prefers to avail himself to the least likely suspects. No, Peter's mother-in-law and these people living in ordinary towns in Galilee, these are the people that God cares about. The ordinary people who probably don't have that many certificates on their walls or trophies in their cabinets. But I bet they know the glory of making bread in the kitchen with mom or chopping wood with dad. I suppose some of you come here on Sundays or tune in on the radio or pull up the live stream on Facebook. You probably come here to hear something spectacular. Maybe I'm able to say something spectacular once in a while. Or if I fail, there's always the opportunity for Claudius to play something glorious on the organ. I've heard people say that they want to come to church on Sunday morning and get a boost, experience something spectacular, a lift, a feeling of confidence to send them back into the new week coming up ahead. I've also heard that's why people say that they don't want to sign up to sing in church or even read the lessons or serve communion and speak the words, "This is the body of Christ." People tell me that they feel like they're not good enough, that they might mess it up. But what Jesus is telling us here today, still in the first chapter of Mark, is that it isn't about the miracles. It isn't about the spectacular teaching. It isn't about the glory of being lifted up so that your hopes of success and fame and glory can be realized. It's about a mother-in-law who is sick, a poor man in the synagogue who is tormented, the people who come out to hear John announce that God desires more for them than the empire can promise, the one who calls fishermen to leave their nets and follow him, the people in village after village who more than even healings and spectacular demon expulsions need to hear the message of God's love. It almost seems too simple. There's no fanfare, no major announcement, no headlines on the front page of the paper. And Paul picks up the idea too when he writes to the Corinthians. The Corinthians. Now there's a people who thrive on glory and fame. Living in Corinth was like living in Beverly Hills or Manhattan or Paris. In Corinth, it mattered what you looked like, what kind of job you had, who your friends were, and at what clubs you were seen on Saturday night. And Paul comes along and tells them that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of God that will lead to eternal life, is not something you wear on your chest like a badge of honor or a trophy that you lift up in victorious celebration. It's not about making yourself look better than everyone else. The gospel doesn't lift up, Paul says, it sends us low. It sends us into the lives of those who fly under the radar. The gospel compels us to set aside our own glory and seek the glory of becoming a servant
all.
To the weak I became weak, Paul writes, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. We seem to thrive on celebration. We love the high points of life, and yet the days follow one after another. Christmas wasn't all that long ago, and Lent is right around the corner. Our song of joy to the world quickly shifts to one of a sacred head, wounded, and of glories beheld in the cross of shame. And today, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Today, Jesus enters into the quiet life of a woman known to history only because her daughter married a fisherman who happened to respond when Jesus came along and said something about fishing for people. What are the ordinary places into which Jesus will lead us today? This ordinary day in February. Who are the ordinary people who will be healed before Jesus decides to move on to the next town or village? How will Jesus remind you and me that it's not about the honors and the glories of this world or whether we're good enough? It's about taking the message into people's lives, where the glory of God will cast out demons, lift up the lowly, and feed thousands with the very bread of peace. Jesus is on his way. Chapter 1 is almost done. Let's follow Jesus into the rest of the story and see how we too can proclaim the message.